Welcome and thank you all for holding. I would like to remind all parties that your lines are on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer segment of today's conference. Also, today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I will now turn the call over to Renata Miles. Ma'am, you may begin.
Welcome to today's media telebriefing on NIH's announcement on funding awards to enhance the diversity of the biomedical research workforce. I'm Renata Miles, Chief of the NIH News Media Branch. Participating in today's briefing are NIH Director Dr. Frances Collins and NIH Chief Officer for Scientific Diversity Dr. Hannah Valentine. Dr. Collins and Valentine will brief you on today's announcement, and we will then open it up for questions. I'd now like to hand it over to Dr. Collins.
Thanks, Renata, and good afternoon, everyone. NIH has long recognized that achieving diversity in the biomedical and behavioral research workforce is critical for ensuring that the most creative minds, the best and the brightest, have the opportunity to contribute to realizing our national research and health goals. The future of biomedical research really depends, then, upon our ability to support a research ecosystem that leverages the intellectual power of a diverse research workforce. Certainly, the nation's population continues to become increasingly diverse, and so there is an increasingly urgent need to ensure that the scientific talent, which is key to our nation's success, is nurtured, recognized, and supported across all demographic groups. Many prior programs from NIH, with names like MARC and RISE and others, have tried to do this and have achieved, I think, some substantial gains. But when we look at our current circumstance, we are far short of where I believe we ought to strive to be. Because groups historically underrepresented in biomedical research, those being American Indian or Alaska Natives, Blacks or African Americans, Hispanics or Latinos, and Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders make up a disproportionately small component of the NIH principal investigator pool. So on top of this underrepresentation, this seems to be not only a recruitment issue. The NIH commission study conducted by Ginther and colleagues 3 years ago concluded that those Black applicants who did come to NIH with a grant proposal were 10% less likely to receive funding than were white applicants, even after controlling for variables including education, training, previous research awards, and publication record. Findings about persistent underrepresentation and apparent disparities in NIH's competitive grant process are of grave concern to NIH. So I asked my advisory committee to the director to study and recommend solutions to address these disparities. This is the highest ranking advisory group at NIH. In June 2012, they provided recommendations in the areas of education, pipeline, mentoring, infrastructure, and peer review. In response, the NIH has undertaken efforts to address diversity on an NIH-wide basis. A major step was the creation of a new office, the Office for Scientific Workforce Diversity, led by Dr. Hannah Valentine, who you'll hear from shortly, a distinguished cardiologist we recruited from Stanford, and she is now appointed as the Chief Officer for Scientific Workforce Diversity. We have launched a Common Funds program called Enhancing the Diversity of the NIH-Funded Workforce Program to develop and assess the efficacy of new and innovative approaches to research, training, and mentoring, and this is what we want to tell you about today, the first launch of some very significant new programs. I emphasize new because this program really does represent a bold experiment to determine whether biomedical research training approaches can be adapted on a large scale to foster persistence of underrepresented groups, recruiting and retaining them. A major part of what we will talk about today is an outreach to undergraduate institutions that train large numbers of students from traditionally underrepresented groups, but which are not themselves research intensive. We believe that recruiting of individuals into careers in science is often predicated upon an opportunity to actually carry out scientific research in a meaningful way as an undergraduate. And we are trying to create the opportunity for those experiences to happen to students in those institutions, which is a significant part of the goal of the program called BUILD, which Dr. Valentine will tell you about in a moment. This program is envisioned as a national collaborative through which the awardee institutions, in partnership with the NIH and what we call a cooperative agreement, will develop, implement, and evaluate innovative approaches to improve institutional capacity for engaging individuals from diverse backgrounds and preparing them for success in biomedical research careers. The unique aspects of this program, which Dr. Valentine will discuss, include the development of new interventions based on our latest understanding of what really are the economic, social, and cultural factors that guide career choices, but also experimenting, assessing, and evaluating training and mentoring interventions to understand which approaches are most effective. We want to collect data here, and within what context, and broadly then disseminating those findings. So this program is applying the scientific research paradigm to identify effective approaches to training and mentoring. Perhaps in the past, many such programs have had good intentions, perhaps good foundations in terms of theory, but now we really want to know, are these programs successful and ultimately capable of transforming the culture and effectiveness of biomedical research training and mentoring? So today, we are pleased to announce nearly $31 million in awards from the Common Fund in this new program to support this effort. These awards are going to institutions that are geographically diverse and serve multiple underrepresented populations in ways not previously possible. So I'd like now to hand it over to Dr. Hannah Valentine. As I mentioned, NIH's first Chief Officer for Scientific Workforce Diversity, and she will tell you more about the Common Fund Diversity Program and these new awards. Dr. Valentine.
Thank you very much, Dr. Collins. The NIH and other organizations have long been engaged and invested in addressing underrepresentation in biomedical research through training, diversity supplements, and research on interventions. And clearly, these investments have supported many outstanding scientists, institutions, and yielded very interesting research findings. Yet, the persistence of underrepresentation in biomedical research suggests that additional investments are needed. And in fact, that's exactly what NIH has responded to in this challenge by examining underrepresentation and implementing these new set of initiatives together with substantial resources to enable us to be successful with this new program. As mentioned, supported by the Common Fund, this new program, which is called Enhancing Diversity in the NIH Funded Workforce, is really bridging research findings with biomedical training to encourage students from diverse backgrounds to enter and to persist in biomedical research careers. The initiative is composed of three tightly integrated programs, and I'll just take a moment to describe each of them. BUILD, otherwise called Building Infrastructure Leading to Diversity, is a set of experimental training awards that are designed for us to learn how to attract students from diverse backgrounds into biomedical research workforce and to encourage their persistence. I will emphasize that the BUILD awards are to be distinguished from existing awards that target diversity by virtue of their real-time evaluation that will be done in concert with each of these awards to assess the efficacy of new programs. So that is a distinguishing feature of the program. The criteria for the BUILD awards I will review with you now. Involved, firstly, that the applicants would present design and implementation of innovative approaches for programs, strategies, and that would be high likelihood to transform undergraduate research training and mentorship for students who wish to pursue a career in biomedical research. Particularly, it required that relatively under-resourced institutions with a demonstrated commitment to students from low-income backgrounds be applying, and emphasized was undergraduate education that encouraged students from diverse backgrounds to enter research careers. The primary applicant institution was required to have less than $7.5 million in NIH grant funding annually, and at least 25% of its students supported by Pell Grants. So as you can see, really trying to engage those students who come from underserved backgrounds. Another important criteria was that the partnerships with there would be partnerships with research-intensive universities, research institutions, and two-year colleges so as to broaden the potential pool of participating students and to maximize the opportunities for research training and for faculty and staff. Finally, the partnerships with research-intensive universities would also provide a path for effective strategies developed through BUILD to be taken up by these research-intensive universities and used at their institutions as well. So both in types of institutions would continue to learn from each other and to better serve the students from underrepresented backgrounds within their environment. Let me now turn to the second program of these three integrated programs, which is the National Mentoring Research Network, or the NRMN, whose goal is to increase access to high-quality research mentorship and networking. This is an interconnected set of skilled mentors who are then linked to mentees across the country, and thereby addressing that issue of the paucity of mentors for the mentee pool. The NRMN will develop, assess, and disseminate best practice for mentoring, as well as provide training for mentors and professional development opportunities for mentees. The third and critically important component of these set of three programs is the Coordination and Evaluation Center, the CEC, whose primary role is to work with all of the awardees to ask and answer the question, what approaches work within what context and with which populations? Critically important, as Dr. Collins has mentioned, we are taking a very focused research aspect to this. The CEC will work with BUILD and NRMN to identify hallmarks of success that include not only academic metrics, but also competencies, psychosocial aspects for each career stage. It will identify metrics for site-specific and consortium-wide goals, will assess the impact of interventions implemented by its site, and will coordinate data acquisition, as well as a final and a very important aspect, that is the dissemination of effective interventions to transform the training and mentoring programs across this nation. In summary then, NIH is making a substantial investment of resources, approximately $31 million in FY14, to support 12 awards, 10 of which are BUILD, one NRMN, and one CEC. More than 50 institutions and their partners will be involved, and over 3,000 undergraduate students will be supported in a program that will likely transform training and mentoring for careers in biomedical research and ultimately produce a diverse scientific workforce that is essential for the quality of science and for our nation's health. I'll stop there, and we can take questions, I believe.
Thank you, Dr. Valentine. Now, the lines are now open for questions. We do ask that you please state your name and affiliation prior to your question and that you limit your question to no more than two at a time to give everyone an opportunity. Back to you, Laurel.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question on the phone lines, please depress star 1 and record your name when prompted. Star 1, please. Our first question comes from Paul Baskin. Your line is open.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm not sure who either one of you, but two things. One is, did larger institutions apply for these awards, and you just chose the smaller ones, or do they not really apply? Sometimes the traditional are ones that usually get grants at NIH. And two, what's your bottom line metric for success here? Thank you.
So let me take the first question. It wasn't really a question of large or small institutions. It was really a question of institutions that by the criteria we set were really underserved. And I think I mentioned some of those, in particular, the institutions that traditionally have not received very much NIH grant funding. And secondly, the institutions that have a largest representation of students that are come from disadvantaged backgrounds, as represented by the numbers of percentages of Pell Grant recipients.
Yeah, Paul, this is Francis. Basically, we only made eligible institutions that had received less than $7.5 million in research project grant support averaged over the last 3 years, and it also had these 25% of their students on Pell Grants. So you can see we are intentionally targeting institutions which have large numbers of students from traditionally disadvantaged backgrounds, but who have not previously really had the kind of opportunity to take part in research. Now, notice the BUILD applicants were encouraged to partner with a research-intensive university in order to make it possible for their students to have research experiences. But the grantee institution is the one that is traditionally not so well supported by NIH research. Does that help?
Yes, thanks. Thank you, yes.
To your second question, the precise metrics of success is what the collaborative will determine. But we hope that these will include some of those metrics that hitherto have not been studied, that include the psychosocial, cultural aspects that we know from smaller studies are determinants of good outcome in terms of success and persistence in biomedical research. Other outcomes that we would be looking for is successful transition from undergraduate to graduate education. That is particularly something that we'll be looking for. But the details will be determined by this consortium.
Thanks, Paul. Next question.
Our next question comes from Jeannie Bauman. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my question. I was just wondering if you could talk about the link, if any, between improving the diversity of the biomedical research workforce and the impact it would have on improving the diversity of clinical trial subjects, which, of course, as you know, also faces issues with underrepresentation.
Yes. I mean, I think this is an issue that we think that will be an important result. As you know, there is some information out there that suggests that the diversity of the clinician particularly is very supportive of the care and give the result in better care for the patient. And similarly, there is data to suggest that when researchers, particularly clinical researchers, come from shared backgrounds to their potential participants in the clinical trials, then you are more likely to have recruit a diverse participant in clinical trials. So we hope that that will be one of the net results. And as a consequence of that, we also think that having this more diverse scientific workforce will allow us to broaden the research agenda and more readily able to address the issue of health disparities throughout the different disciplines.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie. Next question, please.
Before our question from Jeffrey Mervis, let me remind parties, star one if you have a question. Mr. Mervis, you may go ahead.
Thank you. I have two questions. Well, actually, I have many, but I'll start with two. Francis, I wondered if you could address a little bit more what you said about why existing programs haven't had a bigger effect. Is it because they were too small, the theories were flawed, there was poor implementation, or what was it about the MARC program and RISE, for example, that haven't achieved the goal? And second, if you could say why this size of this program is only a third of what you had announced 2 years ago when you talked about a 10-year program covering $500 million. If my math is right, this is $31 million for 5 years, which is about $155
million. I'll come to the second one, but let me start with the first. So the programs that NIH has supported to try to increase the diversity of the biomedical research workforce are numerous. Many of them began several decades ago. There have been issues in the past about the ability to track trainees who went through those programs to find out details about exactly what the outcomes were, just on the basis of privacy. So we don't, frankly, in many instances, have the kind of data that I wish we did to be able to evaluate outcomes. I can tell you that most of those programs have produced a number of really quite stunning successes in terms of individuals who have, through those training experiences, ended up being significant contributors to the biomedical research community. But those are more anecdotes than they are systematic data. And so one of the components of this set of awards that we're talking about today is this evaluation center that aims to collect the most detailed data in order to allow us to do course corrections as we begin to see how the BUILD program and the mentoring network are playing out in terms of their ability to recruit and retain, basically to achieve persistence of scientific interest. It's clear, by the way, that if you look at underrepresented groups going further back in their educational experience, the interest in science tends to be quite high. And then along the way, it disproportionately diminishes. And a lot of that happens in the undergraduate experience. And particularly so if that individual has not had the chance to really experience science in any way other than a lecture room. That is the particular lesion that we're trying to address. We are, by the way, trying to do everything we can now to look across the board, and many of the institutes do have continuing investments in programs that support diversity in the workforce, and certainly the National Institute for General Medical Sciences, which supports MARC and RISE, has made a lot of investments there. And we do think there may be ways now to derive some lessons from those programs in terms of what has worked and what has not, and we're in the midst of doing so. But what we're announcing today is really quite categorically different in terms of the institutions that are being supported and built and the model that we're using, as well as the creation of this national mentoring network, which has not existed before. And we believe that the evidence does suggest that the individuals from underrepresented groups who are not necessarily part of a natural network of role models, because they come from a group where there aren't that many role models, and hitting a rough spot with no mentors around is often the point at which a very talented individual decides to do something else. And we're trying to provide that kind of mentoring, encouraging safety net so that those losses of talent don't continue to happen in the same way. Sort of a long answer to say, I'm not sure we really know exactly what the pros and cons have been of prior programs, but we're quite sure they don't exhaust the possibilities of how to do this. And I guess the most significant metric is to look and see, well, what's actually happened to our workforce? And just looking at African Americans, where 12.6% of our national population are African American, and yet 1.1% of our NIH principal investigators are African American, you can see that despite our efforts, we still have a long way to go. There are less than 500 PhDs being given each year to African Americans in biomedical science, less than 500 PhDs each year to Hispanics. So each of those, therefore, representing percentages of the total doctoral levels in single digits. So whatever we've done may have made it possible for this to be better than it otherwise would have been. It could have been even worse without these efforts, but no one would say we have achieved, you know, stunning success. In terms of the dollar figure, what we're talking about here today is basically a program, a series of three programs that we are awarding over 5 years, But this is no way the entire 10-year program of our scientific workforce diversity effort. There will be other pieces to this that Dr. Valentine is already working on. We need to pay attention to our intramural program, which is a wonderful laboratory for being able to do more of this. And we have some ideas about what we could be doing with those majority institutions that also train a lot of underrepresented individuals, and the retention there hasn't always been as good as it could. So don't think that this is the whole story. This is a pretty major story, we think, but it is not the whole story. Hannah, maybe you ought to say a bit more since you're presiding over all of this.
Well, I'm not sure I have that much to say, except that there have been new efforts to analyze the outcomes of some of the programs that you mentioned, especially those in NIGMS, and individual institutes have been doing just that, especially now that there are ways for tracking students. And, for example, the supplement program, as it turns out, some of them actually have been quite successful in keeping recipients in biomedical research, perhaps not as individual investigators in the classic sense, but in many of the other areas where they continue to support science very effectively, including science policy, industry, and many others. So the programs clearly haven't taken us where we want to be. But I don't think that they have been had a zero effect, let's say.
Can I have a short follow-up to what Dr. Collins said? If I understand it correctly, the goal is to increase the pool, the diversity of the grantee pool, right, the principal investigator pool.
Yes.
That's the goal of enhancing the diversity of the workforce.
That is NIH's main focus because this is what we do.
Right. So how is a five-year program that starts with undergraduates going to even move the needle? Because none of those people will be in the pool after 5 years. So getting back to an earlier question, how will you won't expect to see any increase in the diversity of the pool in 5 years, will you?
No.
Well, go ahead, Anna.
So we won't, but as I mentioned earlier, what we will be looking at and developing what are those hallmarks of success for persistence, and we have some ideas of what those might be, that sense of science identity, that sense of belonging, and we will be able to have some readouts of that early. Your point is well taken that, of course, the undergraduates after 5 years will not be writing R01 grants. But we will have these early hallmarks of success.
Yeah, certainly, Jeff, you don't get to be an NIH principal investigator unless you've got through an undergraduate degree, probably in biological sciences. And generally, you don't get to be a principal investigator unless you end up with a doctoral level. So we can watch those metrics as indicators of whether this program is working. Because right now, we know there's a great deal of attrition that happens. And I just quoted you some numbers about how many PhDs in biological sciences there are in 2012. For blacks, it was 267. We'd like to see that number go up. And we should be able to see, as you look at those various places along the pipeline, that an effect is occurring. But don't get me wrong. This is not like, okay, NIH is going to do this for 5 years and then we're done. This is a five-year grants program. Most of our grants run somewhere between 3 and 5 years. We will see what happens along the way. We're in this for the long haul. This is a major new investment. It is nowhere near the end of our road here. We have a long way to go.
Thanks, Jeff. Laurel, any other questions?
Not at this time.
Well, thank you for joining today's call. An audio file of the call will be available upon request within the hour. If you're interested in receiving the audio file, you can just respond to the same mailbox you RSVP'd to. Thanks, everyone.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.